Though other fears must be borne as if we are being consumed by flames or by searing cold. On my second solitary, one day in the going for refuge and prostration practice, I experienced a fear of diving into darkness where I couldn't see. And it didn't dissipate at the end of the practice. So I'll read this from my journal. It's peppered with swear words, as I was in quite a state when I wrote it, which I'll admit out of respect for the speech precepts in the shrine. The fear has not gone now, after the fading of the tree, after dinner, after chocolate. But I am not adding anything to it now, nor am I trying to get away from it. I sat eating my apple, my stomach tight no matter how many deep breaths I took. I thought of the fear and dread sitter. Here it comes upon me now, the fear and dread. I thought of the Satipatthana, knowing when a feeling arises, knowing what led to its arising, and knowing what will lead to its ceasing. I'm not sure I know, but I know it will cease. It is not pleasant, and I want it to change, but I am not running from it. I am sitting with this fear and dread, sitting as it gnaws at my stomach, sitting as it clenches on the tops of my shoulders like talons, sitting, not adding to it, but feeling it. And the thought arose, maybe this is not a bad thing. Instead of thinking of this as a hindrance I want to be rid of, what if this is a positive indicator of an understanding of the gravity of what I have undertaken? For signing up for the depth charge of accepting the precepts and taking on a new identity, of taking my place as one of the Buddha's disciples. Sitting in a cottage for 2 weeks, dedicating myself to meditation, seclusion, recitation, and study, this is weighty karma. I may not be a great monk or a lama in the Himalayas, but for a white girl in Norwich, this is pretty formidable. Of course I'm scared. This is massive stuff. As I write this, the Vedana has changed, moved from a tight, constricted stomach to a tingling in my shoulders, like a clasp has been loosened from a belt and like a weight has been lifted from shoulders. From anxiety to excitement, they are close, but there is a difference. Now, I did nothing but bear witness to this experience in my body, as if something in my unconscious needed to move through me. Other fears are like demons or maras, impish and thirsty. We meet them with Amoghasiddhi's fearlessness mudra, not giving in and not backing down. At Akashavana, I remember one meditation where my critical voices, those parts of myself that I so dread, threatened to immerse me. They were yelling in stereo. And I held up my palm outwards, and pushed them back as if I were a superhero, blinding them with light from my hand. And I opened my eyes and I saw that actually my hand wasn't raised at all, but that intention permeated my being. I felt a bit like Jennifer Connelly at the end of Labyrinth. I don't know if any of you have seen this film, announcing to David Bowie's Goblin King, through dangers untold and hardships unnumbered, I have fought my way here to the castle beyond the Goblin City to take back what you have stolen. For my will is as strong as yours and my kingdom as great. You have no power over me. There are fears we meet mano a mano. We face off with them, square-shouldered, fingering the purba or the sword of wisdom that hangs from our belt. And we acknowledge their energy and we vow to engage it. Near the end of a retreat, emotions of disappointment and anger welled up and I stomped into the mountains and screamed into the valley. I've gone into woods, picked up sticks, and imagined having kung fu battles with darkness. But maybe you primal scream off a cliff. Maybe you set up an elaborate ritual and invite your friends to participate. Walk through the night forest without a torch. Run naked into the sea. And some fears we can't quite glimpse. They're shadows. They flash over our shoulder like a familiar in an empty cottage or Ozma trapped in the mirrors in Return to Oz. They're ghosts and whispers. And sometimes they seem innocuous, like boredom. Nothing so scary. But on those retreat days when I decide not to read or write, to try to do nothing, the fear mounts. What if there is nothing to do? And my fingers tighten and my diaphragm contracts. And by sitting and breathing and waiting, the fear abates, impermanent and insubstantial. Sometimes this bearing, this staying with, is holding on for dear life. One day I could not beat back the voices, and I drew a picture of myself on a raft, adrift at sea, powerless to do anything but ride the waves of my emotions and keep a tight grip on a gold thread that tied me to a buoy of survival. When I meet fear with awareness, I find the part of myself that remains unharmed. The shadow passes.